Hear again the word of the Lord. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. Well, today we're going to be looking at this matter of the Lord's will. And as we approach this, we're going to first look at what it is that we are confident. We're confident in what? Secondly, we'll be looking at the implications of living as finite mortal creatures. And thirdly, following his instruction, this idea of being informed and led by the Lord's will. Well, as we begin, how about a show of hands this morning? How many of you called it this year for 2020? For how many of you did 2020 play out precisely as you had imagined? Many of us started the year, did we not, with some New Year's resolution at the beginning of 2020. And I think probably to a person, we would say, 2020 looked nothing like we anticipated. Despite all of the plans, and there were a lot of plans that were made for 2020. A lot of things we anticipated doing. A lot of events that we had anticipated participating in. And certainly it wasn't from a lack of planning that 2020 went a different way. But I thought, as we came to this portion of God's Word today, this year serves as a wonderful example or illustration of the limitations of man to plan. And here we see in our passage this morning, in this very practical book of James, another way that man tends to err, to err, to sin. We've already looked in the earlier chapters of James at our tendencies to be very superficial in our judgments, judging things by what we see on the outside and not understanding what resides within the hearts. We make poor judgments, and oftentimes we demonstrate partiality. We've oftentimes not understood that word which we love of God's, and which we may even be quite skilled at memorizing and storing away. Perhaps we're even diligent in regularly, daily, and multiple times during the day reading it. But sometimes we don't understand that that word was given to us and preserved lovingly by God for us, that it might bring about fruit within our lives, a transformation of our day-to-day living to the glory of God. And now we come to another area of failure for many of us. For many of us, we like to think that we have a great ability to make plans and to know how things will play out. And in the process, we have a tendency to demonstrate pride that has crept into our lives, that we believe ourselves able to know what tomorrow will bring and to proceed with confidence toward those plans that we have made. And he uses this example in verse 13. He says here, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a town, we'll spend a year there, and we will trade, and we will make a profit." We're all guilty of this, aren't we? Of making these kinds of declarative statements. But here God is trying to open our eyes not to the fruitlessness of making plans. He would not have us be those who would merely sit back and allow life to happen without any planning whatsoever. But to rightly understand that all of the planning which we do only will come about if those plans are in accord with the will of God. You see, we oftentimes don't understand the complexity, all of the various parts that make up those little plans that we make. And so here in the example given in verse 13, that we can even say what tomorrow will bring and what we will do, denies so many variables which we do not know nor are in control of. And here we see in this example, not only is he declaring what will happen tomorrow, but he even assumes to know what the year will bring and the fact that the year will yield for him a profit. I'm sure there were many new businesses that started at the outset of 2020 whose founders anticipated a profit. But they couldn't foresee all of the things that would befall them. They couldn't have imagined that their businesses would be shut down and that they would have to dream up creative ways of continuing to sell their wares in order to eke out a living or to even remain in business this year. You see, this kind of planning, this type of declarative statement, is a means of exerting our will. I mentioned that it has a tendency to show pride that has crept up within the hearts of God's people, that we would assume for ourselves what will happen. And we saw that same exertion of will and that same measure or seed of pride demonstrated in those who were demonstrating partiality, didn't we? Who either thought they knew the value of those who were before them, making those superficial judgments, or who were seeking after their own personal enrichment to make associations and thus treat with partiality those who might best facilitate their own advancement or that might yield for them reward. Many of us like to keep to-do lists. We almost feel naked if we don't have our week planned out to the minute of what is going to happen. And yet there's a caution here within our passage today for those who would so seek to lay out their lives if their desire in doing so is merely for their comfort or a sense of being in control. And again, this may be one of those areas in which God has been pleased to be working on us, sanding down some of those rough edges this year, as we've found there's rarely been a week that took the shape that we thought it would take. And we were reminded week after week, month after month, of just how little control we truly have over what our life will look like, over those things that we will be able to do. Many of us are confronting that even in these weeks leading up to the holidays, aren't we? As they certainly aren't shaping up to be what we would have anticipated them to be. The times that we would have anticipated spending with extended family don't appear to be materializing as we would have planned. Again, these serve as reminders of our limitations as finite creatures. How we are as creatures dependent upon our Creator. Now, as we would consider this challenge that is put before us, how do we respond to this? Well, here James is trying to impress upon us that there is a comfort that is ours by rightly recognizing our own personal limitations. There's no shame in realizing that we are but a mere creature. Where we feel fear and where we feel shame often is when pride has risen up within us and we don't like to be out of control. We don't like to be the determiner of our weeks or our days or our years. But to the one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one who understands the significance of His life and ministry among us, His death and resurrection, we've been confronted by our own personal limitations, have we not? That only by Christ was our condition able to be remedied. A condition of condemnation. A condition of great peril as we stood under the rightful wrath of God for our sins and disobedience, our stubbornness, our pride. But Christ came, accomplishing all of that which we could not, that He might secure for us life and life everlasting. And with that life that He has secured for those who call upon His name, for those whom the Father has written in the book of life, that gives to each one of us, brothers and sisters, the capability to have a confidence in what tomorrow may bring, though we're limited in our ability to know. It gives us courage to confront even something as terrifying as a pandemic. Knowing full well that it is God, our Creator, who has allotted to each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, the total number of days that He has declared we will see in this life. And there is nothing, whether it be a drunk driver, whether it be a bullet from a gun, or whether it be something so small we cannot even see it, like a virus that has power to thwart the plan of God. So James, as he is going through this, wants to remind us that though we cannot know what tomorrow may bring, we can be confident in the working of God. We can be confident that His great plan will be accomplished. His to-do list will not be thwarted, though ours may be. And we can rest confident in that, knowing the limits that are ours, and better understanding the limitlessness of God. That you and I would be comforted to know the one who knows all and who has ordered all will see all those things come to pass. And thus we can with confidence live as finite mortal creatures. And I think we've seen that in 2020. As the people of God have handled the challenges of this year in a way that is radically different from the rest of the world, with a confidence that is not even capable in the hearts and minds of those who do not know their Creator. And certainly it is a prayer that as the church exhibits its confidence in the one who made them, in the one who saved them, that it will prove a powerful testimony to the world who presently is in despair and fear, concerned that their life, this life, would be cut short, that this would be the best that they would ever know. He says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And certainly, as we have seen, how easily lives come and go this year, as we are staggered to hear that over 300,000 of our countrymen have died this year, we're reminded of the frailty of this life. He describes us here as a mist, something that we know well here in Western Pennsylvania. Many of our days begin shrouded in a mist. And yet, within a couple hours of the sun coming up, when it decides to appear, it burns away. It's gone. And each one of us, with our hope in Christ, need to realize that this life is short. And in the grand scheme of God's plan, this life will pass. But for those who trust in Christ, there's everlasting life, eternal life in Him. Instead, he says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. And this is how we know that God is not opposed to our seeking to make plans, to use the minds that He's given us in order to set out some semblance of a plan to move forward. But he says that even when we put together that to-do list, even when we plan our events and we seek to make plans far in advance, we need to understand and rightly acknowledge who it is that ultimately is in control, whose plan it is that ultimately will trump our best laid plans. And then realize that he has been pleased to preserve for us his word that we might better acquaint ourselves and familiarize ourselves with his plan. That as we make our plans, we would be and carry out our due diligence in examining his word, that we might know that those plans that we are making are in accord with his word. That our plans aren't merely the self-seeking ambitions, chasing after the desires, the worldly desires of our heart, but rather that we would be making plans that are a testimony to the fact that he has called us to be his servants. And the plans that we make, whether they be for ourselves, for our families, for our church, would be established in a way that would ultimately yield for him glory and honor, that he would be pleased to bless. And that from our limited abilities as finite creatures appear to be in accord with his commands. I know I've shared this story with you before about how when I was in seminary, I remember trying to make a plan. My roommate and I, he was from New Jersey and I was from Kansas. We're talking about where we hope the Lord would place us after seminary. And my roommate said, "Well, all I know is I'll never be in the Midwest." And I responded in like foolish manner and said, "Well, I'll never end up in the East." And I think if we had truly been listening, we would have heard the Lord laugh. As his first placement was out in Sterling, Kansas, and the Lord has been pleased to see my feet firmly planted here in Western PA 25 years later. That was a foolish thing for me to say. And as I reflect over those 25 years and what it is that God has been pleased to do, each time I remember that story, I recall my youthful foolishness. For today, I can clearly see the beauty of God's plans in both of our lives, my roommate's and my own, that far exceeded what I had thought were the plans of my heart. As we are informed by God's word and led by his will, we will grow both more confident and secure in the plans that we make, but we'll also marvel all the more at God's great plan as his strength and wisdom is demonstrated through his plan. We marvel at these things, and it works within us a desire to serve that one who truly is in control and to be content in his control more than my own. Because as the years go by, I realize more and more how little control I have, and how feeble are my arms and my mind in comparison to that one whose great plan yielded for us salvation in Christ, whose great plan involved immense sacrifice, giving up even his only begotten Son, that we might enjoy life and life everlasting. So as I said, this isn't a passage which declares to us how we need to be laid back, not making any plans. But we plan based upon the will of God and content ourselves ultimately to his most perfect will. Now, we have opportunity today to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And again, this is a great blessing of God. This is one of those means of grace that God has given to His church as we recall His wonderful plan, its sufficiency, and what it was able to bring about that we were unable in and of ourselves to accomplish. And so it is a great delight today that as the body of Christ, we can gather here and partake of the Lord's Supper together, confident in Him, aware of our finiteness and His necessity to our day-by-day living as well as life forevermore. And touched by His love that He has been pleased to reveal Himself, giving to us His word, that we might not be lost sheep, but rather sheep led by our great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so let's look to God and ask His blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, how easy it is for us to feign control and to trust too greatly in either what we think we know or understand or our own power to bring about. We thank You, Lord, for this year. A year in which You have been pleased to again and again and again and again reset all of the plans which we sought to make for ourselves, constantly reminding us that You ultimately are in control. And nothing that has occurred in this year filled with resets for us has been at all outside of Your most perfect will. Lord, we pray that where pride has begun to spring up within our hearts, may You be pleased to eradicate it, to pull it up by the roots, Lord, that it would not raise its head again. Rather, Lord, as we have seen this year play out, may we be quick to give You thanks for the protection that You've given, for sustaining us through it, for leading us through uncharted territories, for reminding us week after week of Your promises that yield for those who call upon Your name the hope of life everlasting and close communion with You today and forevermore. Though this life may be short and by the world's standards may be cut short, we know every one whom You have placed upon this earth will finish the race You have appointed. And may we be content in that. Not clinging to this life, but yearning for the new heaven and the new earth, which has been promised to all who call upon the name of Christ. For it was He alone who secured those things for Your people. And those things which You have promised, Lord, are as solid as a rock. And we can be certainly anchored securely to Your promises, knowing they will happen. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.